Hold the Mic is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios Speak Boise and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468.
It's time for a new episode of Hold the Mic with Jenna and Lexi.
Hold the Mic.
Hi everyone, it's Lexi and we are back for a new episode of Hold the Mic. So Jenna is currently home and unfortunately she can't be here today, but I am taking over today's episode. And today's episode is actually a really special one because it's our fifth episode. When Jenna and I were first coming up with this podcast, we kind of talked about how just like our goals and things, and our goal was if we got five episodes out, we would be really, really happy. And although that this goal will now be reached, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon, and we are really excited for the future of Hold the Mic and to see where it kind of goes. We have a very special guest with us today that I'm going to be talking to, and I'm really excited to introduce. But before we jump in, let's start with our game of the week. So the game of the week that I'm looking forward to is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs has been going on for the past couple weeks. Tonight, the Vegas Golden Knights will be taking on the Minnesota Wild in Game 7, and whoever wins this game will be heading to the second round of the playoffs. I'm recording this episode on Friday, the 28th, so that game will be happening tonight. And for my cheat sheet, because of the guests we have on the podcast today, the Seattle Mariners are an American professional baseball team. The team played their first game on April 6, 1977 to a sold-out crowd. And then in the 1995 season, the Mariners set a record of 116 wins. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about the Seattle Mariners today because of our guest. And then for who's on my radar, Phil Mickelson is an American professional golfer. He has won 45 total events on the PGA Tour. And just last week at 50 years old, he won the PGA Championship. Let's just say this guy is like the Tom Brady of golf. So those are the segments that we have for today's episode. The guest that I have today is someone who has been a huge influence on my life and just so helpful just kind of navigating the sports industry, especially as a woman. She's someone who was a driving force and kind of really helpful with Jenna and I starting this podcast, and I just look up to her so much and so grateful to have her on today. So I'm going to introduce Ashley Cox. She has a lot of hats within the sports industry, so I'm kind of going to let her describe those. But she's a Boise State alumna, a sports reporter, and a stadium host, and she also is a production/operations manager. So welcome, Ashley. It's so nice to have you on.
Hi, Lex. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. It's really cool. We talked about this, and then we're here, and you're doing it.
I remember talking to you about it. I think it was like Jenna and I had talked about it right before Thanksgiving break, and then I went home and we just kind of like were coming up with ideas, and I was texting you about it, and now we're here, and it's crazy. It's been so much fun, but
I love it. One step at a time, making the dream come true. So proud.
Yes. Thank you. So would you mind just starting us off by explaining all your kind of jobs and maybe how you sort of got them, or just like your journey to get to where you are now?
Oh, hot dog. Well, in this business, when people tell you it's really about who you know, I couldn't speak highly to that anymore. One job opportunity has led to another because somebody has referred me, but I did have to start somewhere. So graduating from Boise State, I did not have anything in the broadcasting world besides doing university radio and television, which was a great experience, but trying to just hop in the media world, especially in Seattle, which is back home for me, was really difficult. But I found a radio station that I job shadowed with, 710 ESPN, and then they had an opening on their street team, which is literally, if there's like a remote shoot or you see a radio show like somewhere other than their station, I'm the person that's like setting everything up, staying, talking to people, and then I tear it all down. But that actually, I started doing that, and that got me to meet all the hosts. I got to meet the program director, who I built a good relationship with work-wise. And eventually he's like, hey, I want to hire you for a board op position. And then that led to me producing and getting some time on air, which also led to me meeting more people. And then I got a job with the Mariners, which led to a job with the Sounders. And through all of that, then I met Laura Oakman, because my parents were watching HBO special one night and were like, you need to look up this chick. She seems legit. And Laura is a Fox NFL reporter. She's been doing this for over 30 years. She's one of the best in the business, one of the kindest people I've ever met. She has a program called Galvanize, where it's basically young gals and even guys have actually jumped on the bandwagon, which is super cool. Anybody who's wanting to get in the sports industry, whether that's in front or behind the camera and just wants to learn more and gain actual experience with professional teams, she gives you that shot. So emailed her, thought I would get like some random assistant. She like legit emailed and called me back and I basically cried. She made an opportunity for me, like literally was like, I can make a spot for you if you want to come in 2 weeks. And I did USA Women's Hockey before they won the gold in Pyeongchang, which is super dope. And then just built a relationship with her. She asked if I wanted to be a runner for Fox Sports. And I said, yes. And then I literally was just picking up trash at the World Series in 2017. And my boss on site was like, do you want to do this? It's like, heck yeah, I want to do this. And then now I'm a production and operations manager. And now I'm the stadium host for the Mariners and the Sounders. And I'm just, we're not done yet. And I'm super excited.
Yeah, that is so awesome. I remember Ashley and I talked back and it was in the fall. And I was just like so inspired by her story and all that she's sort of done. But I remember I followed Laura on Instagram after and she gave me a follow back and I was so excited. I almost cried. I was like telling everyone, I was like, you guys, this is so cool.
Isn't it like the best feeling ever? You're like, I feel seen.
Yes. Yes, but seriously, like I follow her program Galvanize too. And just the things that I see that are posted and just like getting women involved and men in the sports industry is so awesome. But kind of going off of that, was this something that you always kind of dreamed of doing, working in the sports industry?
So oddly enough, my dad was a big high school coach in our hometown, like wrestling, football was his main thing. Like I still run into his students all the time saying like, your dad was my football coach. He's so cool. And I'm like, I know, he's pretty rad. So I've always been a sports gal, but I never really thought of like, okay, well, I'm going to work in sports field. I played basketball growing up. So I'm like, I'm going to make it to the NBA like everybody else, which is a really great dream, but yes. It was not my dream. It was just a fantasy that I realized getting older. And so I was like, oh, I'll just be a teacher because my dad was a high school principal and he taught for over 25 years. And I was like, oh, this will be great. Then I was like, nah, I really like sports. Like I like what it, I like the game day aspect of it. Like I love waking up and being like, oh, we have a game today. I get so excited. Or I like going, prepping, meeting people. Like some of my best friends are from basketball. Like I love that it brought us together as a family, whether it's not by blood, but it's by choice. So I wanted that and I was like, okay, I'll go into public relations. I like working with people, sports, perfect. Did a couple classes at Boise State, left the program, but I was like, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. Literally Christmas break my sophomore year, my dad and I are watching some ridiculous bowl game. I couldn't even tell you, but Sam Ponder was on the screen. And I was like, gosh, she's so cool. Like, I just feel like I know her the way that she talks to people. And I actually got to meet her like the following year. So that was tight.
Oh, wow.
She came to Boise and did a game. I'm just like, hold it together, Ash. You're going to be just fine. But my dad looked at me and goes, you could do that. Like just nonchalantly kept it super chill. There was nothing like, hey, you should do this. It's, oh, you could do that. And I thought about it. I was like, okay. So I literally just next semester changed my entire major and just went for it. And I haven't looked back. So yeah. Crazy.
Do you kind of want to explain what you got your degree in at Boise State and then also your internship?
Yes. Ooh, I love my internship. So I graduated from Boise State in 2014 with a bachelor's in mass communication, which was then, but it's like the emphasis in film and journalism.
Yes, yeah.
And then also a minor in public relations or a certificate. Mm-hmm. They're the same.
Yeah.
And then I was, sorry, I'm pup sitting and he's all over the place. And then I was a marketing intern with Boise State Athletics for 2 years. So I did football, basketball, and a little bit of softball and gymnastics too. So that was super fun.
Yeah.
And I, while it was like a marketing internship per se, because of that, I got to do some ridiculous things. Like I became friends with Mike Walsh, who's one of the PR guys there still, I think, because I ran into him last season.
Yes.
And he's
still there.
Yes, I love Mike.
I email him all the time. I'm like, can I get this person for an interview?
Yes. So, like, I didn't get interviews per se, but I would just pick his brain because he's the one that's working with all of the radio and the broadcast people.
Yes.
And I was like, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to learn and gain experience. I'm not expecting to be on the air, but if I can just be in the airspace, I'm going to soak it up like a sponge and learn. And he's like, absolutely. So any time like CBS at the time was the big crew covering the Mountain West. So whenever they'd come into town for basketball, like I'd get to meet them. When ESPN would come for football, I would meet the sideline reporter and just ask them like two basic questions, like, what's your favorite part about this job? How did you get here? Mm-hmm. And then that was it. And I'd let them be and I'd go back to their job. But all of them were super kind. And like I got to sit in basically a media scrum when Boise State for basketball went to play Kentucky at Rupp Arena. Like Walsh got me credentialed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just a student. I'm paying my own way. But this is like the biggest game. Like Jay Billis is calling this game. It was packed out huge. I couldn't believe that we were there and I got to go and like all the press conferences and just sit there and soak it up. And Walsh was next to me and I just looked like a kid in a candy shop with no budget. And it was the coolest thing ever.
Yes, I know. I feel that. I mean, it's not as big as the Kentucky game, but I was able to get credentials for the Mountain West Championship, and that was just like such a cool experience. And even though we lost, like just to be able to sit in that press conference and like listen to other reporters and the questions they ask and then be able to ask my own question, I'm like, this is so cool. And I remember Avery Williams to this day, they had lost, so like the boys weren't in the best mood. And so I had asked a question because everyone was like, oh, like how disappointed are you? Stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to like turn this into a positive thing. And I kind of asked like, what's the biggest thing you guys are going to take away from this? And Avery Williams goes, that's a good question, Lexi. And I was just in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like you said, a kid in a candy store, just like soaking it all up.
That's so cool. And you like, those are just cornerstone moments. Like you will remember that going forward and you can look back and say, this was a great memory. This is where I gained some confidence. This is where I knew like I could do this one day and all like leads up. That is so cool, man. Yeah. I have chills. Come on now.
But kind of going off of that, you've given me a ton of advice, but for other young females or just anyone interested in the sports industry, how would you suggest getting involved or even just getting started, whether they're in high school, college, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I know for me, I really took advantage of job shadow opportunities. Mm-hmm. And the job shadow part is hard because that's all on you. I've had a couple family friends who've been interested in working in the sports media world, whether that's for a team specifically or radio, like for both. And so they've job shadowed me for both just to get a feel. But on my end, as someone who's saying yes to the job shadow, I just have to pick a day. I have to pick a day where I'm busy enough to show them everything. I have to pick a day where maybe it's not as chaotic or I'm not hosting as much. But on the person who's requesting the job shadow, you're the one who has to build up some courage, figure out who you want to shadow and why, and kind of convince them in a good way. Be like, hey, I'm interested in this. I don't want your job, but I'm really interested in what you do and would like to learn from you. Mm-hmm. Job shadows is literally how I got my first job. Like, I would not have that if I did not go job shadow Brock Heward first as a host. And so job shadows are the biggest thing because it also gives you experience. And then the other thing I would say is everybody's journey is different. Like, I look at so many of the gals who I'm friends with through Galvanize, and they're already reporting. Like, they've already done stuff with ESPN, like, on the field, already had, like, ESPN2 stuff. I'm like, I want that. Like, I have more experience than them in some ways, but also I have to take it back and say that's their journey and mine is different. And so I try not to compare, but I try to encourage instead of compare, and also learn from what they've done and trying to apply it to mine. Like, let's see, I'm almost 30 and I've been doing this for 8 years and I'm still not where I want to be, but I've been working consistently to get it. But also, my experience hasn't just been broadcasting. Mine just hasn't been TV. Mine has been radio. Mine has been behind the scenes. Mine's been social media. Mine has definitely been a lot of marketing to get me there. So it's different for everybody, but as long as your goal is always the same, you're going to keep going to the finish line for that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And would you, because I feel like I'm kind of in a spot where I'm just testing the waters of different things. I love writing. Writing's my thing, but I knew I wanted to kind of do like the radio and audio side with like this podcast. And then I've been taking like broadcast classes as well and kind of getting time in front of the camera, behind the camera, everything like that. Would you suggest people like kind of doing that and kind of figuring out which or dipping their toes in like different areas of sports or just like media in general? And then, or would you suggest like sticking at one thing and getting really, really good at it?
This is where the coaching side of me comes out. When I played basketball, I really wanted to play college. And it wasn't until my senior year, like, I did not want to play college anymore. So I spent literally years and hundreds of dollars. Thank you, mom and dad. Like, going to camps and working out, like working on my agility, working on my strength, like going to the YMCA, playing with all the dudes to get better. And then it just kind of stopped. But I felt like while that specific training made me stronger, I probably would have been a better athlete overall if I played one more sport. So it never hurts to have a bunch of stuff in your pocket that you're good at or that you're building towards. Like, even I also coach high school basketball. There's another hat. So my girls that play multiple sports, even if they're just running, if they do cross country or track, like, I can tell the difference because they're more athletic. I'm not saying that if you just play one sport that you're not athletic, but you're just using different muscle groups than you normally. You're not just going through the same motions. And so I would say, like, because you're a writer, that makes you super strong. Because you're hosting a podcast, that makes you stronger. Like, you're just building on top of it. And not saying that one may be stronger than the other. Like, maybe your writing is your best bet. Okay, cool. That's your leadoff hitter. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is underneath. And then you're going to have a strong cleanup. So I say the more the merrier.
Yeah.
But also, me growing up, I was like, no, we're going to focus on one thing. But I'm extremely goal-driven. So that's where that goes.
Well, yeah, I remember us talking and you had kind of said, like, I mean, obviously now you do radio, you do broadcast, like, you're a stadium host, everything like that. So it's just like it all seems so cool and so just like interesting and stuff. But what are kind of you had kind of talked about how you've been doing this for 8 years and you still have like goals. What are your goals like moving forward and like where do you see yourself going in the next couple of years?
So my ultimate goal is extremely specific and it's very selfish. And then we'll get to the real one.
Okay.
I am a big North Carolina fan. Yes. My mom grew up there. So like before I liked anything, before I even knew what sports was, I genuinely remember like North Carolina stuff in my house because of that. So I was like, oh, I love this color. It's literally my favorite color. My nails are painted Carolina blue. I have stuff everywhere. Even though I did not go there, I still love them. So my ultimate goal is to cover a North Carolina Duke game.
Ooh,
in Chapel
yes,
Hill.
Yes, good one.
And I will mic drop and walk away.
Like, yes, I love that.
That is like the ultimate. That's my personal, very, very personal goal, which is hard because I'm with Fox Sports and that's normally an ESPN thing. But yeah. Fox is coming up in the college basketball world, so I have a lot of faith.
Oh yeah.
But goal, like overall career wise specifically, is I just want to be a sideline reporter for a network. If I had to pick a sport, I mean, college basketball is my heart. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that I'm being pushed into baseball more, and I'm not disappointed in that area because baseball is my second favorite.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I do a lot of football with Fox and everyone's like, oh, you're going to do football. I'm like, but everybody wants to do football.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
But I'm also not one to like follow the crowd. Like, this makes me happy. I want to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaning more towards baseball, but every time I do postseason baseball with Fox, like, I just got confirmed for that for this year. And I'm like giddy just talking about it.
Yeah, so that's so awesome.
One day when they bring a gal back on the broadcast, Lord Jesus, please. if I got to cover like anything for Fox concerning MLB, I will be elated. And yeah. I feel like that is probably the career goal. Mm-hmm. But shoot, if they give me college basketball, I am not going to be upset.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's awesome. I know it's like hard to think about the different areas because like you said, football's awesome. I love football. Like cheering, being at the game's favorite thing.
Yep.
But I think with the different sports I've been able to cover, and especially with this podcast too, we brought a couple Boise State men's tennis players on, and it was just so cool to hear like their stories and how like even the tennis world is like so different, but just like so awesome, and kind of figuring out these different sports and kind of what I want to go into. And so kind of going off of that, do you think like when you were entering your job, like did you know everything about baseball, or did you know everything about soccer, or would you say, or football or basketball or whatever, or would you say you've kind of like learned as you go?
I've definitely learned as I went. Basketball is different because I played for 12 years and I coached. So like I'm able to pick things out more, but that has helped me because learning new sports, I take what I know from basketball and just kind of make an analogy to the other sports. Mm-hmm. Like when I went to a hockey game a couple years ago, I saw the Coyotes in Arizona. I had no idea what I was watching, but I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Hockey is so fun to watch. I love it.
It's so fast, but I'm just for it. And then my boss was like breaking it down for me. He's like, oh, this is like a 3-on-2 drill. And I was like, oh my gosh, it makes more sense. So that's how I have to learn. Baseball did not come naturally. Holy Moses. I was actually not a big baseball fan. Like I just liked the Mariners because I'm from the Seattle area and I would go to a game or two a season.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I actually started working for them that I was like, oh, I love this sport. Like I kept thinking of every moment is like its own game. Mm-hmm. So like, pitcher and the batter, that is its own personal game. And then it turns into a bigger game when the ball leaves the 90-foot radius.
Yeah. So,
but, like, I didn't realize that until, like, I read a book about it, until I started watching it and working around it more. So just the more you're around it, the better you get a feel for it. Because I played T-ball growing up, but I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with what the Mariners are doing on the field. So I'm constantly learning, like, even football – I still ask my dad questions all the time. I have a family friend who played in the NFL, and I will ask him questions because I'm like, I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. Like, I want to learn, and I'm going to be the first person to raise my hand if I'm unsure about something.
Yeah.
Just I want to get it right, but I also want to be good at my job, and part of that comes with constantly learning. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome. I feel like it's so just, like, refreshing to hear because I feel like, at least growing up, what I've kind of been told is you have to know everything about every single sport in order to make it in the industry. And as I've talked to more and more people, like there's a, I'm blanking on her name, but there's a sports reporter in Vegas who never, like, didn't know a thing about hockey. And when the Vegas Golden Knights came to Vegas, she like reports for them now and learned everything she needed to know about hockey. And so I feel like it's refreshing to hear from you, just like you can ask questions and you can learn as you go. And it's not like you have to be this know-it-all walking in.
Yeah. Even scoring like baseball games, I just learned that in 2019. I kept seeing people with these books and I'm like, yep. What are these numbers? What does that even mean? So I started learning how to score. Mm-hmm. And I'm still novice at it. I will be the first to raise my hand. But like I went online, I was like, what does this mean? And so as I was reporting games, I would have my scorecard, my laptop open so I could see what people like what was being written. Yeah. And I would figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, like last night there was a call. It was like a 6-3 play, but the shift was really weird. And I picked it out right away before like our media director even announced it over the press box intercom. Mm-hmm. I was like, I did it. I have You're done like, it.
I knew it. That's awesome.
I am really thankful that I have the attitude, and I will also thank my parents for this, of like be open to constantly learning, because it just makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm learning a whole new sport or a whole new way of life per se in the sports world, just because I didn't know much about it as a kid growing up. Basketball, I can watch a game and I can tell you exactly what's happening. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Baseball, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was possible. Or, oh, what is this rule? Like, it's very exciting now.
Yeah. So kind of going into like the baseball side of things, would you like mind talking about just kind of like a day in your life or like in working for the Seattle Mariners and the Sounders?
Okay. So misconception, I only work game days unless they need me. So, okay. I'm not even like in the front office. I used to be, I had a seasonal job for a summer and I absolutely loved it. But a desk job is not for me. And that is okay.
Yes.
Learn that out with a grateful heart. Uh-huh. So I show up a couple hours before pitch, clock in, depending on what my role is that day, I'll always be hosting and doing something, but I'll either be on the marketing side that day or on the production side. So it just kind of depends, but I show up at the same time. I'll either have my marketing meeting or production meeting. And to help our production team out, a lot of my spots I do with the Mariners are actually pre-recorded. So we do everything live that night, but it just makes everything smoother for our team, especially if a live element, like a pitch on the field, first pitch or something goes long, then they're able to readjust. Instead of moving me, they can just move a pre-recorded segment. Mm-hmm. So that's what works for them. I said, absolutely. But I do also some live elements of like hosting contests. We have vaccine pop-up areas at the ballpark. And so I got to do a live interview with our 1,000th vaccine person.
Cool.
Which actually went on TV and I had no idea about. So I'm glad that okay that night. Like, geez, y'all gotta let a girl know. Come on.
Yeah.
So I'll just get randomly pulled in to do stuff like that. On the production side, if I'm production the whole game, I'm the production assistant. So I'm with our producer and our public address announcer. And so I'm just making sure that they have what they need. So if my other teammates who I work with on the marketing side, if they're doing like a lucky row or something, like I communicate that to them so they are able to say the right row and they can let camera people know. So there's that side. And then on the marketing side, sorry, we're jumping back and forth. It's crazy.
You're good.
On the marketing side, I do a lot of fan interaction. So basically me and the people I work with, we are the face of the Mariners organization, not the players. Mm-hmm. So we do like a lot of games and contests, a lot of prize winners, special deliveries, that kind of thing. We interact with season ticket holders, first-time fans. We bring people on the field. We don't need more because of COVID, but previously we would do that. So that part, like, to me, gets a little old because I've been doing it for a while. But I meet so many people like, this is my first game, and I can't believe I won this. And I'm like, damn it, baseball fan for life. Like, yes. We did it, people. We did it. So that is what I do for the Mariners. The Sounders is totally different. Mm-hmm. Sounders, I'm there 2 hours before kick. I have anywhere between 3 to 6 live hits. So all of it is live in the stadium. I do anything from like safety announcements, fan cam, something special coming up the next match, or a sponsored segment. Like, I do all of those. I used to also, because of COVID, I don't, but I do like a lot of fan interaction as well. Like, I'd always have a kid who would be the match ball delivery, and I would talk to them, and then they put the ball on the rack. It was the cutest thing. They're always like four or five.
Yeah.
We're almost friends, and
that's,
I love
you. That's so cute.
But like, as soon as the game is over, I'm done. Whereas like the Mariners, it just kind of depends on how long the game goes, and then I'm done. So they're both different. Like, the hosting is same. I treat everything like it's live, no matter what, just in case something happens. Yeah. So, but the Sounders prep is more for me because I have more segments and it's just me. Like, I don't do note cards. I don't do teleprompters. There's nobody holding a cue card. It's literally all me.
Yeah.
So that's more prep work per se. The Mariners, I have maybe one or two hits and it's about like an upcoming game, which is a little easier. I still have to prep for that, but not as much. Cause there's graphics to help support, but Sounders, it's just me.
Yeah.
So that's like the difference between both of them, but also both of them in the nutshell.
Yeah. Do you see yourself kind of staying in Seattle for a little bit?
As of now, this is where the Lord wants me to be planted.
Yes.
I am not a city girl by any means.
That's funny.
I've had a lot of people say, you should move up here. And I was like, you don't want Ash to move up here. Yeah. I live in my hometown, and I live like what's down the block from me is like three farms, and I absolutely love it. So that's I awesome. Do not mind the drive. I have chickens.
I love that.
Like, we're living our best life at the moment. I want to be out in the country one day, but right now this is where I'm planted, and I know this is not where I will stay, so that is okay. So I'm just soaking it up right now.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much. You've seriously just been like such an influence on my life and just like so amazing. And I knew from the beginning, I was like, Jenna, we have to get Ashley on the podcast, because even though we've already talked and we've already had these kind of conversations, it's just awesome to get to hear it again and a nice refresher and just like inspiration moving forward. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I'm so proud of you both. And it's, like I said earlier, crazy to think that we talked about this in the fall and you're actually doing it. And it's easy to have an idea. It's harder to follow through with it. So I'm super proud of you. Yeah. And this is your fifth episode.
Yes. No big deal. I know. So exciting. Hey. And we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. So
that's what I like to hear. Yes. I'm so proud of you both.
Yes. I'm really excited to see what happens moving forward and everything like that. But I think that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on Hold the Mic. Be sure to follow our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook accounts at Hold the Mic Podcast.